Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Wednesday, September 29th, 2021, and it's Wednesdays. You know what that is. It is What If Wednesday here on the podcast. We're breaking down the latest episode of Disney Plus's show, What If. And this week, we're talking about What If Ultron won. Now, that right there pretty much gives away what this episode is. But if you have not seen the episode yet, obviously press pause here in the podcast. Go watch the episode and come on back because, man, this show is a banger. This was an awesome episode, wild episode. And we're going to break it all down here for you and kind of give my thoughts on it. So a little bit of housekeeping as always. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. But yeah, what a wild beginning to this episode. I mean, obviously in the title, Ultron won, and he wins in a big, big way by essentially setting off every single nuclear bomb in the world and causing complete and utter destruction of the world in doing so. Now, that also leads to him, basically, you know, obliterating everyone, leaving a few heroes alive. I mean, we see Clint and Natasha trying to find a way to take him down. I mean, ultimately, it leads them to Zola, who, you know, we've seen him already kind of with his mind uploaded to this server. And essentially, they try to use him to infiltrate the Ultron sentries to take down Ultron. But before we even get to that point, we do learn, of course, that he was able to get into Vision's body. Because, you know, Tony, of course, wanted to put that suit of armor around the world. And in this world, it kind of utterly failed. I mean, of course, it did fail in the MCU, but they were able to battle back and take down Ultron. But in this case, they weren't able to basically steal Vision's body. And Ultron was able to achieve kind of, you know, becoming Vision at this point. So you get this glimpse of Vision, of course, with the Ultron voice. And, you know, once he obliterates Earth, essentially, he decides he's going to go and do the same across the universe. And we just get some awesome glimpses of this Ultron army taking down multiple planets that we've seen throughout the MCU. Pretty much what, you know, you can envision Thanos did kind of, you know, in the his reign of terror, if you want to say, across the universe. Although Thanos is only killing 50%. Thanos was never about taking them all out. Right, where Ultron literally is like the only way to have peace is everyone dies. So really, Ultron achieving his goal is even more formidable and even more terrifying than Thanos, I think, ever could have been. Because Thanos, with that one snap, he was done. 50% gone, good enough for him, right? Go retire, go live on the farm, hang up the armor. Ultron, no, still not good enough. To the point where when he even does achieve his goal and realize essentially the horror that he was all alone, he starts getting glimpses and just, I don't know what you want to say, he's able to sense the Watcher. And that's ultimately where this episode goes, is that the Watcher suddenly gets exposed by Ultron to the point where he sees the different universes. We see the Watcher almost breaking his oath as he goes to Natasha and Clint as they're kind of filing or going through all the files to figure out the location of another Zola upload, because, you know, the Watcher knows Zola is the one that ultimately can help them as well, because he's seen everything. So he knows what needs to be done, or he's almost set to intervene. And ultimately, you know, they go, they're able to figure out where Zola is. And even when the Watcher is watching, unfortunately, Ultron finds a way, because of course by this point he has all the Infinity Stones, which, by the way, I totally skipped over talking about Thanos. He completely just zipped Thanos in half. He just unzipped Thanos. That's what I'm going to say. Thanos got unzipped. Vision, the Vision Stone, he basically was able to just cut Thanos directly in half, and he peels out with a thud. I mean, I watched these episodes with subtitles on, and it literally just said thud on the screen as two halves of Thanos' dead body just collapsed on the ground. Why didn't Vision do that in our MCU? Why, if he could do that, if he had the power to do that, why didn't he just do that? Because that Thanos had all the same amount of Infinity Stones that he had when he encountered Vision. I guess the only thing you could think of is maybe our Thanos was ready for it. This Thanos seemed very unprepared. He didn't know what he was walking into. He just like, hey, I'm here to take him. I mean, he didn't say a word, but, you know, kind of comes out of the portal like, I'm ready to take, and then just immediately dead. Like, didn't even get to say a word. His mind couldn't even process what he was even looking at, and just immediate death. That was pretty wild to see that, and just shows you how strong this Ultron is. Again, this Ultron that really is more nefarious and wanting to do worse than Thanos did, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about that. But anyways, back to what we were talking about. So, you know, this Ultron, Vision Ultron, whatever we want to call him, busts into the Watcher's area, if you want to say, and starts fighting the Watcher. And, you know, we had some killer shots, man, of them, like, jumping through these different multiverses of, you know, one where we see a Steve Rogers running for president. I mean, that was kind of wild, you know, in Times Square. But then, like, Ultron punches the Watcher and it's kind of changes to Wakanda. And very cool, kind of getting glimpses of not only multiverses that we have seen, but, you know, even what could be, like, more what-if episodes. Every single punch delivered what could have been another what-if episode of this series. And that's the beauty of the series, is you can do whatever you want. They could, there's so much that they've already set up in all these movies. Like I've said before, this show could not work without the number of movies that we've had. I mean, that's why the comic series is great, because you have so many series that they could pull from. Here you have so many movies that they could pull from. It's fantastic. It's awesome. Now, meanwhile, at that same time, Clint and Natasha talk to Zola, get him in that century. They're getting him out. We do get a scene that I've already seen on Twitter, people going crazy. I know Matt Clark in the Discord has already been chatting about it. We get kind of the reverse of the Natasha death in Endgame and get the Clint death in a very similar fashion of Natasha holding Clint hanging there by a thread and these Ultron sentries kind of busting through the shield. She lets him go and he's okay with it. He said he just wanted to rest, or whatever, we don't know what the term was. He just wanted to, he was done basically. Coming down, shoots the explosive arrow. Very cool slow-mo scene of all the sentries coming up and him just slowly pulling that arrow back with some, you know, lighting effects and everything on the screen. Very cool. Looks very much like it would be like a full-page comic spread. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was cool. I know, you know, some people may not like it, may not think it makes up for the Natasha death. Man, I thought it was great. But... you know, that leads to his death. And then we get ultimately the Watcher, you know, cut back to that escaping right before Ultron's ready to take him out. And we get him back in his watchtower or, you know, whatever it's called. And he needs the help of someone. And this seems like this someone he's known and has discovered him, which, I mean, we knew he discovered him because we kind of saw that at the end of this episode. But that is like this dark Doctor Strange knows of the Watcher, obviously, is there, has probably confronted him just like Ultron has, but decided not to engage in the Watcher and take him out because he understands, being the Sorcerer Supreme, he knows kind of that there's things behind the scenes that are at work that are kind of controlling the way things go, and not even always necessarily controlling like the Watcher, but just there are things other than just living a regular life that need to be done to make sure the universe continues on. And I think if anybody could understand that, any human could understand that, it would be Stephen Strange, that he would understand the importance of it, of the continuation of keeping things like that just rolling at a normal pace. But he probably has told the Watcher before, if you need me, I can intervene. And probably multiple times has come and seen terrible things happening and said, just give me the call. Let me come in. And you know, he... even though he knows what the Watcher's purpose is, I think, you know, this dark Doctor Strange still would always want to intervene in some cases where he would see that, you know, hey, we could help, but, you know, he didn't take the oath. And, you know, the Watcher, having taken the oath, probably has told him, no, you just got to let these things go. This is just the way of things. Well, now, in this case, when you have this multiversal threat of this Ultron, he comes to the Watcher and says, just say it. And the Watcher says, I need your help. And here we are now, basically setting up what was kind of been, what has been teased and speculated on kind of through this whole season of this multiversal Avengers happening. And I think we're getting it. I think it's happening next week. I mean, next week is the finale. And, you know, I think all the heroes we've seen throughout the season will be that. So that means we're going to get the Captain Britain, you know, that Captain America we're going to be getting. We're going to be getting the Black Panther. We're going to be getting this Dark Doctor Strange. We're going to be getting, you know, the Guardians. So, you know, there's a lot at play here of what this team is going to be. And I think we're set for just a killer finale next week. Very cool. You know, part of me was thinking like, man, like as much as I want to see that, the one thing about What If is it's never tied together. You know, they don't do that. Now you can look at it from two ways. Like, you know, number one, maybe that's all the reason to do it. Right. I mean, if anybody's going to do it, you got to have Marvel do it the way they've built the MCU, Kevin Feige, all that. Right. Always laying Easter eggs, always putting that stuff in there. Why not do it? You know, this is the way to go. But then the other flip side is, well, but you know, in doing it, it kind of, you know, takes away from what the series is. You know, the whole point is just to be these kind of wacky stories. But as we know in the MCU, we have the multiverse as canon, which of course it is in the comics. It eventually became canon with all the different universes and all that. But you know, it's like they can't miss an opportunity, to not run with something like this. And, you know what? I'm all for it. You know, and more you think about it and look at it, it's like, let's do this. Let's do it. Now, what is a season two going to be about? We know it's been picked up for season two. What is that? What is that going to be, right? Are we going to then get this multiversal Avengers going through the different universes and taking out the things, like I said, like the Dark Doctor Strange maybe wanted to intervene in? I sure hope not. I hope we just take care of this threat and things go back to normal. We'll have to wait and see kind of how they play it. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. Either way, very cool. Next week's going to be a very, very interesting episode. Now, I mentioned Easter eggs. One big, not even really Easter egg. I mean, it really is just kind of literally showing it, not trying to hide it. We got our first glimpse of Galactus in the MCU. So for weeks and months and all that, we've all been talking about Fantastic Four and all that's going to lead to Fantastic Four, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's our first acknowledgement, true acknowledgement of a very popular Fantastic Four villain. And that of course is Galactus. He is like the villain you think of when you think of Fantastic Four. So, very cool to see that. And that he was literally eating a whole universe, which was awesome. So that's the Galactus we're going to get in the MCU. I love it. Give me that. Please give us more of that. We need some more Fantastic Four bleeding into the MCU. So, all right, that's going to do it for me here today, guys. You know, next week's episode for What If will be, I'll be in Disney. So I don't know, you know, I think our plan that day, I think we're going to Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom. I don't know. It's one of the two that day. Hopefully you'll be able to get the episode in, a quick episode out. Next week, I'm thinking I might not do an episode every day. We'll kind of see how things are rolling. Just because, I mean, we're going to have long days at the parks and it's going to be wild. But we'll figure it out next week and I'll definitely be getting some episodes to you. So as always, let me know your thoughts here on the episode. I mean, easiest way is hit me on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. But of course, you can always email the show, theenthusedlife@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of this episode and where they're heading with the multiversal Avengers. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you next time.